fresh from a free trip to the United States holiday, it's Christian Leyland joining me, Jack Quigley, in the studio for the Football Sack podcast. Welcome back.
Hello, Jack Quigley. Hello, everyone.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you know, having to go to the USA, twist on my arm, you know, games, LA Galaxy, yeah. New York, Vegas.
Yeah, it was a free MLS scouting mission that you undertook, and I hate you a little bit.
Yeah, well, because I obviously have the worst job in the world.
That's right, yeah. It's good to be back. It's what, 3 weeks since our last Friday show?
I think it would be. Three weeks too long, I think.
Yes, it is, yeah. So welcome back, everyone who's listening to us. Of course, our crowd that follows us will have just assumed that we've died once again and will not listen anymore. So to anyone who's listening in for Matt and Pete and co, hello. We're not them, but stick around and see how much you like it. We should also mention a big thank you to Southern Cross University, which is the studio in which we are currently sitting, and they sponsor us and they give us this studio.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Though it's a bit drab. You think they put some?
It is a bit drab. Yeah, it does need a few jerseys hanging up for a bit of football feel.
Well, we do have an awesome logo on the wall still.
So yes, we do. We do draw our logo up on the walls just so people know that this is our studio. We should get into it. We've got a lot to cover today, so, you know, enough banter, I feel.
Yeah, who would have thought it 3 weeks means a lot to cover?
Yeah. Let's start off with the women's game, because the Women's World Cup final, which you watched in the States, you watched the States play in the final in the States.
Yes.
It was you and one Japanese fan in the bar. The final was wrapped up. Japan are Women's World Champions.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think it's great, yeah.
I mean, it was one of the games. It was a great World Cup in itself, and I think the two most deserving sides were in the final.
Yeah.
Japan played the best football, and USA played the best other type of football, if that makes sense. There was two contrasting styles.
Yeah,
and
but both effective styles.
Both effective, that's right. Yeah, Japan's obviously the passing, possession, patience, build-up game, and USA is a bit more European sort of, you know, kind of jostling for it, a bit more physical game, and it was great to see them, you know, match off against each other. The World Cup in itself was a good, great signs for the women's game in general. It no longer is it a battle between USA and Germany. There's probably four or five sides who can actually give it a good go. Obviously, Japan, USA, Germany's still in there. You got Sweden to
Sweden
a certain
had
extent,
a great tournament, didn't
and
they?
France were surprisingly amazing. They were really good.
They were, yeah.
So great signs, USA. I mean, for the women's game in general, Australia had a bit lot to be desired.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. Yeah,
yeah. So it was a bit of a shame because this is probably the last tournament. There's only going to be a handful of teams who could win it. I think next tournament it's going to be most of the teams who play. Are probably going to be capable. So we kind of had our chance.
We missed a bit of an opportunity.
We missed the window, which Japan, to their credit, took with both hands.
Exactly,
And brilliant.
And that's what's a bit frustrating because we've beaten Japan
past. We have.
And, you know, so it just goes to show that could have been Australia, world champions.
And so, yeah, I think a lot of people do underestimate Japan. They are a top quality. Well, obviously, they're a top quality side.
Yeah, they are the world champions, yeah.
They were unlucky not to win the Asian
They're not bad, those world champions.
they go all right. Yeah. Then again, Greece did win Euros one year.
That is true, yeah, which throws that logic entirely out of the window, yeah.
So Japan were unlucky not to win the Asian Cup last year or the year before, whenever it was. But they came, you know, gave everything on the field and they did well. Obviously, you know, the final they probably got dominated a fair bit by the USA, but they had their game plan.
You hung in there and you're waiting to get a chance and take it when you do.
Well, that's right. I mean, they probably only had three or four chances all game. They took two of them. USA, I think the shots, I think, between 18 or 21 shots, and they took two of them, but it's not enough. You know,
they were good at penalties.
Like Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
Perfect penalties, just on the ground, the corner, too easy.
That's right. USA not so good. It was a crazy weekend for penalties because there were the Copa America. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we had Brazil failing to score in the shootout. We were unbelievable. It's just penalty shootouts galore in the Copa America, and then there was the Women's World Cup final as well. As a whole, the tournament a huge success.
Oh, absolutely huge! Crowds amazing.
Yeah, great stadiums, great facilities. Everything just went so smoothly. Germany do know how to host an event. Very efficient.
I love the fact that they probably were more disappointed in their final position than we were, but the crowds hung around and still watched all the other
games.
That's brilliant. I mean, it's probably not that many countries where the teams hosting a tournament expect to win. They go out in the quarters and the crowd stick around.
That's right. And I was watching it during the semi-finals. I turned to a mate and said, "You know, let's just let Germany host the Women's World Cup. That's where every 4 years all the women go to Germany to play this tournament because no one else is going to put on a better show than that."
That's exactly right. But I mean, it's almost similar to the men's. I mean, the 2006 World Cup was amazing.
Yeah, it's the best, most organised sort of World Cup in a long time, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the one thing that kind of, if Australia ever hosts a World Cup, whether it be men's or women's, I don't know if we could have that whole crowd atmosphere.
Well, yeah, I think we definitely get, in terms of facilities, I think we'd put on, probably one of the best World Cups ever, just like we did with the Olympics.
Yes.
But, you know, look at the Olympics. The Australia got behind that, and that was fantastic. Mm. So I don't think that we'd have a problem.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, so you reckon we'd be able to sell out a game like Switzerland versus Honduras or something?
I think we would.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think you'd just get that many people who would jump on the World Cup bandwagon and want to get involved.
They're
the games that, you know, unless you have contacts, they're the sort of games at a World Cup that you get tickets to. The England games sell out and the Brazil games sell out. And, of course, the Socceroos game is going to sell out. So,
well, England if they qualify anyway.
That's right, yeah. But yes. Anyway, we're off topic, so let's talk about the Matildas in particular. Mm-hmm. There was a few highlights in the tournament. Obviously, a couple of good performances in the group stage. We had Elise Perry's wonder goal against Sweden as well, which was fantastic. Long peg too.
Yes,
cutting inside. We had Caitlin Ford named in the young team of the tournament.
Well, she got young player.
Young
of the year.
Player of the tournament. Yeah, that's right.
It was highly deserving. She's a very talented youngster, and she will be a star of the future.
Yeah,
like I said, you know. Some of our young girls actually came out and stood up, so they made the names of themselves. Obviously, herself, Van Egmond.
Yeah, she was great. No, she was my favourite player of the tournament.
Yeah,
actually.
See, personally, I didn't think she was going to start. I thought she'd come off the bench, but she came and she proved every doubter wrong, which was brilliant. Mm. And of course, Perry, like you said before, you know, she's going to make a name for herself as well. You know, some people think she's just a bit of a poster girl, but tell you, the girl can play.
Yeah, not a bad cricketer either.
Not a bad cricketer either, yeah.
So
there are good signs for Australia. Like I said, there was a very big opportunity missed. This is our strongest side we've ever had, and probably in a World Cup where, you know, we actually had an easy draw.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we win our quarter final and we had, you know, our reason.
We walked through and play a team we've beaten before in the final.
Yes, yeah.
You can't ask for much more. I was very disappointed in our defending throughout most of the tournament. I thought our centre backs were pretty poor.
They were, but it happens when you don't pick your best centre backs in the country. It was that was really disappointing.
It also happens when you keep letting the ball bounce,
or you decide to hold on to it until you get tackled.
Yes, all that, or just slip over.
Just
to mix it up. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, we're supportive of our girls. It's a bit of fun we're just having here, but we just it is a bit of a disappointment when we can see the potential to win a tournament.
I think it shows how far the Matildas have come, that people get frustrated as opposed to just going, oh, did they lose last night? I heard the girl slipped over and let the other striker in, whereas now I'm out of my seat shouting at the television.
Well, I think you're right. Yeah, let's think about it. Sydney Olympics 2000. I don't even know if he scored a goal, but you know, no one cared.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this World Cup, most of the, you know, the football watching nation was watching the Matildas and were physically upset when they didn't do as they should have. And it was it's a positive sign. You know, I think the football sack has actually got a bit of flack from the general footballing public because we haven't been 100% supportive.
But right.
But my personal opinion is we're being constructive criticism, because yeah, that's the sign of a team maturing.
That will move you forward.
Yes, that's right.
You can't just keep patting yourself on the back, because you'll eventually just pat yourself into a circle and keep going round and round and round. So once again, the football sack moving football in Australia forward.
That's right.
At a rate of knots, a step per year. Mm. So to say success or failure, it's probably more on the failure side, because we've just said that it was probably a tournament we could have won.
Yes.
And when you say that and you don't win it, it probably is a failure. But having said that, at the same time, a lot of positive signs.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of positives and you know, positives for the future.
Well, that was the other thing, because I think looking at that squad, I think we can still give the next World Cup a really good shake.
Well, that's right. We obviously won't have players like Melissa Barbieri and Heather Garriock, but the majority of that side will still be there.
Mm.
And, you know, 4 years of growth, four more years
of playing
in
the W League,
exactly. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be a great side. And if we coach properly, then the sky's going to be the limit.
Yep.
So, can't wait.
Okay, let's move on to the Hyundai A-League. We've got a lot of transfer news going on, one of which is Costa Barbarousis has left the Champions Brisbane Roar to go to Russia.
Yes, Krasha.
Yeah, Krasha. He's gone to, I believe, the play second in their league at the moment.
Well, yeah, they're in the Russian top division.
The Premier League, yeah.
I think they're only 11 games in or something, but they're second, which is something. But they runners up to CSKA Moscow in the cup competition last year, and they're in the Europa League.
Yeah, so good work for Costa, and a long way from not being able to get a game for the Phoenix.
That's right, yeah, not being able to get a game for Phoenix and not getting selected for the All Whites by Ricky Herbert.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, picked up on a free transfer by Brisbane Roar, which was a big risk because he was a visa player. Because he was New Zealand.
That's right. He was taking up a visa, yeah. Mm.
And, he had a reasonably solid season. And he's been picked up by...
I thought he had a very good season. played up front for the team that won the league.
Yes, very true. No, he had a great season.
Yeah.
And he got picked up by, a reasonably solid European side. Mm. So it's...
He's playing in the same league as, the likes of Luke Wilkshire now. We've seen how far Luke's come in the last few years, so...
In saying that, though, he's also playing the league where Joe used to play, so...
Yeah. That's a very good point, actually, yeah. He might have even gone back there, I think. Oh, no, he's gone to Brazil, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's gone somewhere.
Somewhere in South America.
He's probably gone to a netball
team. He was one of the great mysteries. He'll be a trivia question, Manchester City's Joe.
Over one of my friends down in Sydney, he runs a Lesson in Pride website, Matt Coleman. He won a trip by Etihad to go to Manchester City, and he had his photo taken with, I think, Tevez, Vincent Kompany, and Joe. Yeah. And he said his caption for the photo on Facebook was like, myself with some good footballers, and Joe.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost like you don't want him in the photo, because I have a cricket ball at home, and it's signed by Sachin Tendulkar, Jason Gillespie, Justin Leah, and Nathan Bracken.
Oh, what?
And it's almost like I almost want to rub Nathan Sintrov, because he was a good player, but, Justin Leah, how many test matches did he play? I can't think of off the top of Jason Gillespie, 200 international wickets, and Sachin Tendulkar, probably the best batsman since Bradman. Nathan Bracken. So, yeah.
I mean, he had a short but glorious career, didn't he?
That's right. I think he played one test or two tests. If you at home have any great stories of any memorabilia you have where it's one person in there is just slightly out of place and you're kind of wishing you didn't ask for the autograph or the photo at the time, get in touch with us. So we'll read some out on the show if we get any good ones. Yeah. It's info@thefootballsack.com. So I'm very curious to hear that.
Actually. So am I. It's sort of memorabilia where it'd probably be worth more if they didn't have their signature.
That's
on it,
right. Yeah. Thing, so. Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like I have a great football here, but unfortunately it's signed by Joey Beecham or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know this is a following podcast, but Jason Gillespie flocking his way to a double.
Yeah, that's right. He's the only player in Test history to make a double 100 and then get dropped.
Yeah. That's a
tremendous. Isn't that amazing? Pressure, yeah. Yeah. So if you want more cricket, listen to a cricket podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Melbourne Heart. They've signed Maicon.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, amazing.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, if you heard that on the radio, you would be blown away. But if you saw it in print, you'd realise it's spelt differently to Brazilian right back Maicon. They've signed a striker.
Yeah, 22-year-old striker from Brazil.
Yeah.
From a club nobody's heard of. In a league nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
Although which is Brazil's league, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. He has scored against Vasco da Gama, though, which is a feather in his cap. Look, 22 years old, with a bit of experience playing in Brazil. Obviously, someone scouted him. They haven't just picked him out of the blue and said, let's sign this guy because he's Brazilian. I'm excited to have a look at him.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he's going to be a good signing. We're making a joke about him, but as long, he has to be better than Ricardinho. So
yes, that's right. It's going to be a step up. Heart building a really strong strike force, aren't they?
Aren't they? Because they've got, obviously, the Maicon or Maicon or whatever, however you want to pronounce him. You've got David Williams, Marte de Gansich.
And Fred in behind
him. Oh, Fred, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a good lineup.
I'm really excited to see... David Williams playing off Fred. I really think that if Fred still got it, he could, because David Williams, he is the Tevez-like player. He will run the lines and he will chase a lost cause. Mm. And I think I'm expecting a really big season from him this year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was actually, you pretty much just took the words out of my mouth. Williams is a very
Don't need to say it then.
He's a very it's a very Tevez-like player. And, when he was with the Fury, it reminded me of, Tevez playing for City under Mark Hughes when they were rubbish. He's just trying to do everything. And, of course, he just ties himself out.
Yeah.
But now, see with Mancini, you've got David Silva, people running off him. He's twice the player.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Williams in a solid side with a great attacking, you know, surroundings with him. He's just gonna light the league.
Well,
isn't
he? At the Fury, opposition teams knew that he was the only one they had to mark. If they marked him out of the game, they were probably going to be safe.
That's right.
Whereas at the Heart now, if they have Dugandzic running in behind them and they've got Fred trying to slide through balls through all the time and Mike on, let's hope he's a threat up front. Mm-hmm. You know, all that, they're all worried about that. That's when a player like David Williams is going to nick in between defenders and you know, hopefully score some goals.
Yeah, well, he will. He will. He can score from halfway. He's a talent.
I expect a big season. I'm going to go out and make my first A-League prediction of the year, mm-hmm. and it's that David Williams' performance in the league this season will see him play for the Socceroos.
Okay, very nice. I hope you're right. Yes. I really do.
Just play for the Socceroos this season. That's it's probably a bit open ended to say he'll just play for the Socceroos one day.
Yeah.
I think he'll get a cap in 2012. Yeah, 2012. I'm going to say. So, mm-hmm. if you have an opinion on that, get in touch with us, info@thefootballsack.com, or Twitter us
at the football sack
if you're on Twitter, or join the Facebook group and contribute there,
which is facebook.com/thefootballsack.
That's right.
It's too easy.
Let's talk about Gold Coast United, just up the road for us, that we've spoken in the past about their problems
at length. Yes.
Yeah, trying to engage with the Gold Coast community, who don't feel as though it's their club. They feel as though it's Clive Palmer's toy that he doesn't even really care about, so why should they get behind it? They're taking a few steps. Interesting little tidbit. We both have a friend who's been on the show before, Jeremy Kerrigan,
whose listeners would remember him.
That's right. Mm.
He's a Gold Coast United resident fan.
He's currently working up there at the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. And he told me an interesting note that I asked when the Jets brought out their low prices for memberships. I said, will the Gold Coast be trying to match that? Mm-hmm. And he said it was interesting because in their first season in the league, that was their original plan. Just come in with basement prices, fill the stadium, build a culture. And Clive Palmer came in and said, no, we'll charge premium price because it's a new club and everyone's going to come anyway. Yeah, well, that was extremely wrong. But
well, it's actually, that reminds me of Matt Greenlaw's opinion of the high ticket prices at Jets.
Yes,
that's right. Matt Greenlaw, if you're listening, we don't want the Jets to end up like Gold Coast United.
That's right, yeah. We don't want anyone to end up like Gold Coast United.
Therefore, Friday show wins.
That's right, yes. Case closed. We want everyone to end up, like the Jets, who at the moment, I think, are pushing the 5,000 members already sold barrier.
Yes.
78 days out from the start of the season.
That's growing, isn't it?
Which is fantastic. So, mm-hmm. they could genuinely be looking at 10,000 members before the kickoff.
Which is amazing. That's higher than, I think, most A-League clubs' average crowd ever.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Of course, we have to give a mention to the victory. They've led the way for crowds all the way, and they've already got 7,000 lined up.
Yeah, 7,000 with the CEO going, oh, yeah, nothing special.
Dusted the dust off the shoulder of the jacket. So the Gold Coast, there, as we said, we're engaging in the community, doing a lot of stuff in schools at the moment. They've also bought the naming rights for the Gold Coast Premier League. Now the Gold Coast United Premier League. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is all moving in the right direction.
Yes. And I had a chat to Miron Blyberg a little while ago, and he said he's planning to actually have a trial game with pretty much every single Gold Coast Premier League club there is.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, that's just going to help build it, isn't it? So.
Yeah. That was actually, that's part of the prize for the winning team in this season's Gold Coast United Premier League, because the sponsorships only sort of come in after the season started. Yes. The winning team will get the chance to play against Gold Coast United.
Mm, so, awesome.
And then obviously in the future, his plans are to play them all on a regular basis. Mm. So, that's fantastic. Hopefully it's more logo out in the community, and hopefully the Coast get behind it and we start to see some decent crowds out there, or at least move the bloody television camera to the other side of the ground, or at least open up the other side of the ground, make everyone sit over there.
Yes.
So it looks good on television, mm-hmm. and then more people go, oh, they're getting decent crowds now, we should go to the game.
Because you look at it, it looks like one of those European lockout matches.
That's right, yeah.
This looks rubbish. And we go, because we actually go to the ground. And
it's not too bad when you're there.
It's actually not that bad, because the other half of the stadium, it's actually reasonably kind
that's
of
right. That's
full.
Side, the side of the stand on the side where the camera is, that's full. And, you've got you're 3,000 or 4,000 people on that in one stand. It's actually, the stand's got a good crowd to it.
Yeah.
It's just that everywhere else is deserted, so it's not great for atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to just shift the crowd to the other side.
Yeah.
There may be some logistical problems, but worth it, possibly?
I think it might be, yeah.
Or perhaps we could just lower the ticket prices and just fill the stadium anyway.
Yeah, well, that's another option as well. Yeah. How many did they get when they opened the gates? It was like 14 or 15,000 or something like that.
It was because they did it twice.
Yeah,
and the first time was against the Mariners, and they had about a lot of people in there.
Yeah,
and I think they almost touched 20 the second time.
Yeah,
it wasn't far off.
Yeah, no, it was great.
It was brilliant, and the atmosphere was great. Because did you go to that match?
I didn't. No.
Okay, I was there, and it was just incredible. I mean, obviously, it wasn't filled to capacity, but it was one spare seat, one person, one spare seat, one
that's
person.
That's right, and that's decent.
That's decent, especially for A-League standards.
That's right.
And it was just great. Yeah, the atmosphere was pumping, because Shane Smelt scored about 20 goals that game, and the crowd just absolutely lost themselves. You know, lose yourself in the museum.
Yeah.
It was just... it was great.
It's hard to lose yourself in that stadium, because it's all just one tier.
That's so right,
You've only got to walk out the back.
Where am I? Oh, three seats from us.
That's right, yeah. So well done to Gold Coast, and we wish you all the best with that community involvement.
Well, just a little bit of a side note back to where we were. So Jerry Carrigan, obviously Gold Coast resident fan.
Yes.
It can't be a very good marketing strategy to put your only fan onto the staff, surely.
That's right, because it's just one less fan that's going to sit. Yeah, surely they should just recruit someone who's not a fan, and then you get your fan and the new staff member going to the game.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, maybe that's a tactic that the Gold Coast can use. Just hire like 4,000 people just to do tedious jobs around the office, making photocopies and coffees and stuff like that, and just say, well, as a staff member, I'll see you at the game.
Yes, it's your duty to be there.
That's right. I think we could be onto something here.
I like it. I like it.
Let's talk. Let's go into a bit of detail about your trip to the United States.
Okay.
Your whirlwind MLS expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And let's. You've brought back a couple of magazines that are sitting here on the table. It's Free Kick is the official magazine.
Yes, of the league.
Of the MLS, so I'm going to have a flick through that after the show. And you've also brought your LA Galaxy Game Day program, because you went and saw the Galaxy play the Chicago Fire, and were not so impressed by the standard.
Not really. It was a bit surprising. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I don't watch MLS on TV, mainly because it's not that readily available. But the Galaxy are on top, outright first, and Chicago about halfway down. And so I thought, I'll go here, we'll see what the style is like. And I went there, and it was actually quite underwhelming. The Galaxy, all they did, they just played narrow, narrow, narrow. They would not go to the wings. 5 metres, so they would play 5 metres inside each of the touchlines. And it was just so easy for Chicago to shut down.
Bizarre, given that you have this fella named Beckham out on the right-hand side, who's not bad at whipping it across.
He's not bad at that show. To be fair to them in that regards, Beckham was kind of playing... It was really strange. He played a bit of a semi-wide role, but semi-central. He just kind of kept moving in and out.
He's probably just bored and trying to go find the ball.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He needs the ball, true. Mm. It was just...
Well, I think you said he only touched the ball about twice and scored one and set one up. So maybe there's a sign.
Play
a bit of width.
Yeah, because Chicago, they were just laughing. It was very central. So they just packed the midfield, and Galaxy couldn't get through them. The only time Galaxy looked threatening was when they went wide, and they only did about 5 times. A game, and both the goals came from corners, and both the corners came from when they went wide. I mean, it wasn't rocket science.
Yeah,
it was. I was a bit disappointed. Like I'd said to you before, to be fair, the last 20 live games of football I've seen, 16 of them have been Brisbane Roar.
Yes.
So I have been spoiled.
Yeah,
but it still goes. The top side in the top American league, I was expecting a bit
very
more.
Underwhelmed by the standard.
Yeah, I mean, there's very 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 talented and very skillful players, and to be honest, probably some of the individual skills are probably better than individual skills players in the A-League. But the whole team...
The system,
the style of play, the coaching, it left a lot to be desired, because...
I think that bodes really well for the A-League.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It really does. And I always thought, when the Galaxy come over to Australia and they lose to the Australian teams, they didn't really care. It's just a friendly.
Yeah, they're jet-lagged, yes.
But,
that's right.
I mean, there is something in that, but there is also a thing that I think the Australian teams actually do play better. The teams play better than the USA teams.
Yeah.
So,
of course, it sounds like we're sort of tarring the whole league with this brush from this one game, but it is what we're going off.
Yeah, that's
it's an
right.
example.
That's
right. So.
I did talk to Jimmy Stagger or Jimmy Powers on Twitter, and he said Galaxy and Chicago Fire are not exactly the best passing teams in the league. You got Seattle Sounders, you got the New York Red Bulls, who are quite good, who I did not get to see, but just going off the game I saw. And if you're going to see a game and judge a game, you want to watch the team is coming first, don't you? So and that was what happened. And saying that, it was actually a really enjoyable experience in the stadium, because the crowd was absolutely pumping.
Yes, well, that was going to be my next thing. Let's compare match day
yes.
in the A-League to the MLS. all match day to go watch Brisbane Roar. Involves a bit of travel.
About 2.5 hours driving up there. 2.5 hours
drive, yeah.
In the parking, my illegal secret spot.
Yeah.
Walking up the stairs. Going to the stadium. There's a few people kicking the ball around. There's a lot of people in orange. Yeah, get a ticket. Hello, going there.
You got like train loads and bus loads of people that start turning up. Mm-hmm. And that's how everyone sort of gets to the game. And then you have your match day atmosphere. How does it differ?
Well, there's a few ways. Well, firstly, getting to the match is very different. Because I was a long way away from the stadium. I thought I'd just catch public transport. No, incorrect.
Yes.
They don't have public transport to games in the USA. I actually did catch a bus. I had no choice. But there's only one bus there within an hour of the game and one bus out. And it went through Compton.
Yeah.
So. Which is ghetto central of the world. Mm. And no exaggeration. And it was... it was a bit strange. It's very surreal going to a game and, everyone just drives. You've got these huge, huge car parks, which, cost a lot of money to park in, but that's just what everyone does. And it was actually quite funny because, we were waiting at Compton Station. I got on the bus and just before the bus went off, two New Zealanders in their all-whites jerseys came on the bus.
Yeah.
And it was just really strange. You know, these four little tourists surrounded by all these, ghetto guys on the bus. And I thought it was very representative of the kind of the Australian New Zealand way of game day experience.
That's right.
Because we were the only four people in the whole stadium who took the bus to the game.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then we had to catch taxis home because the buses went to Ghettosville afterwards.
That's right, and you didn't back yourself there at night time.
No, I didn't.
You managed to street talk your way through in the afternoon and didn't back yourself in the dark.
Yeah, it was actually kind of funny because we told the taxi driver our story and he was legitimately surprised we came out alive.
Oh, really? you would blend right in there in Compton.
Definitely.
You're a pretty hip sort of dude.
Yeah, let's go there. Something happens to South Central Los Angeles.
That's
Nothing
right. Yeah, I can picture you there on the platform waiting for the bus, cleaning your glasses.
Hi, guys. It's a game this way.
It's bus going to the stadium.
You get to the stadium, though, and it's amazing. There's, like, little kids in, there's built-in mini football pitches at the stadium. They're playing. There's people everywhere singing, chanting. You go into the stadium, and you walk up these stairs because, the state, it's actually kind of up.
Yeah, it's elevated.
It's elevated. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. And you have all these, you've got the hot dog stands, you've got the food, you've got music, you've got bands, you've got people singing, and
it's the
musical acts.
Yeah, it's the whole carnival atmosphere
they try to build. Yeah. They've got the stalls where you can buy things, like clothes and stuff. It's really quite
surreal. They do have all those things at A-League venues. They do have catering and merchandise venues. We should point that out, but it is slightly different.
So I'm talking, you go to, say, your local organic market or farmer's market. It's like that, but in a stadium.
Yeah.
And it's just mingling, and it was just crazy. And then everyone's cool for a chat. Well, the Brisbane Roar scarf people going, oh, what's this? You have a little chat, and you spread the A-League and stuff. And it was just really good, And you go into the stadium, and you got these people. We had two big supporter groups, really big. One North End, one South End, obviously. And you had these people who didn't even watch a game. They just stood in these really kind of high, kind of lifesaver chairs with the big loudspeakers.
Very sort of Italian. Yeah, they have those sort of cheerleaders.
And it was great. It was probably one of the, obviously, the grand final at Suncorp was an amazing atmosphere, but just for a regular season game, probably one of the best regular season atmospheres I've
been to. Because it is one thing that US sport does very well, be it a baseball game or a gridiron game or a basketball game, because let's face it, gridiron is very, very stop start and baseball is as boring as watching paint dry. Mm-hmm. So they have to make the match day atmosphere as big as possible, barbecues outside the ground at gridiron games and all that sort of stuff, I think that's something the A-League can do. Let's not focus on just what's happening on the pitch to sell our brand.
Yes.
Let's sell the match day stadium experience.
Well, I wish it could be a match day experience because there's so much potential for that sort of thing. I mean, you go to AFL, you go to the rugby league, it's all about on the pitch. You go to the stadium, watch the game, you piss off.
Yeah.
I reckon soccer, there's a niche market there, or football, associated football, we call it. There's a niche market there to do something different. Take a leaf out of the American European games and actually make it a whole experience. It's like going to a concert and a game of football broke out. It's what it was like.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
It was great, and it's something I wish we could do. In saying that, the whole match day experience, I'd love for us to play National Youth League and W League games before the main game.
As curtain raisers.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a Well,
it's,
segue,
but yeah, but it's sort of it's that whole thing of you get to the ground, there's already a game going on, so it's kind of, it gives that atmosphere that there's activity going on already. It's not sort of everyone just sitting in their seat waiting for the game to start. It's just, you know, people are half watching the youth league game, and it's a bit of entertainment. They can, you know, still have music playing or whatever. I don't care, and I'm sure the youth league players won't care either. It's their chance to play, in, you know, in these stadiums as curtain raisers. So, you know, definitely something there to think about.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. So that was great. Yeah, two other things I noticed about the America, the MLS game, which differs from the Australian game, is there's a very strong lack of garden chairs.
For the benches. La-di-da, very fancy.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, we have real benches.
Oh, you anticipate that there will be more than one game in your stadium per year, so you've installed seats for people to sit in.
What I don't get is that most of these, because most of our grounds that we use are used for either rugby league or AFL. And they have benches built in.
Yes, why don't we use them? Everyone else sits in the bench. It's amazing. You watched the Queensland Reds there the other night at Suncorp Stadium, and all their bench players were sitting up on the bench that they've provided for the team. And then the A-League players, and they all go sit on the grass in these garden chairs.
Yeah, you know, the bench, it kind of comes with a match fee at the stadium.
That's right.
You don't have to pay extra for it.
That's right, yeah. You're paying for this facility. You're allowed to use all of it.
That's right. It's not like one of those dodgy kebab joints where you buy a kebab and they go, do you want a cheese for an extra dollar? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like when you're playing cricket, your mate keeps bowling too short, and you say, mate, you've paid your fees, you can land it in the other half of the pitch too.
And so I mentioned to you earlier, and you said you've seen it in South America, is the referee carries a bottle of a can of shaving cream.
Yeah, shaving cream in his pocket.
Yeah, and it's crazy because he'll give a free kick and he goes over the point and he draws a circle where you have to put the ball in, and then he'll walk the 9.15 metres and he draws a curved line where the players can't go across. And I thought, that's really weird.
Yeah. And it's cool. You know, and it comes up white and clear as hell. Like, you can imagine sort of shaving, if you were to spray shaving cream on the ground. But then, you know, within 30 seconds, it's faded completely away and dissolved, and you don't know it's there anymore.
Yeah, it's the foam dissolved bubble thing. It goes away and it's not there. And
you don't have that issue of the players, you know, ending up, someone taking a free kick and being 3 metres away from the wall. And, you know, and that's great because it allows the referee then to go watch what's happening in the penalty area.
Yes.
And he's more likely to spot infringements there rather than worrying about, you know, which is the least important part about a free kick, which is getting the wall back 10 yards.
That's right. I think I might just start refereeing and just carry a can of
spray. I think carrying shaving cream just in general life can only result in making your life easier. Yeah.
I hate those moments. You go, what do I need right now? Shaving cream.
Do you know, this is a true story. I ran out of shaving cream this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, that is dead set, not a coincidence. I had to sort of ration it out and rub my hands together and spread it as much as I could. And I had a very thin layer of shaving cream on when I shaved this morning. So that is very, very interesting.
Very nice.
So I'll need to get some on my way home this afternoon.
You have to take a leaf out of MLS and always carry shaving cream.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Because if I was an MLS referee, I wouldn't have
that problem.
That's right. I just would have pulled shaving cream out of my pocket and I would have been fine.
The MLS,
you never see an MLS referee with a beard.
Never.
You never.
He's never caught in that situation.
I never even see him with stubble. Because anytime he walks past a car window, all he needs is a reflection. He's got the shaving cream and he's fine.
He probably does it half time, you know, just because it's there. He's got nothing better to do.
That's right. He's got 15 minutes to kill. See him in the change room. That's why I have a quick shave, come out fresh.
Yeah. That's the MLS rep.
That's the MLS rep. MLS experience.
My MLS experience, my free scouting trip.
So. If you have your own experience of a league other than the A-League that you would like to share with us and you think that we can add something to the A-League, feel free to contact us. Once again, info@thefootballsack.com or via Twitter or on Facebook, and let us know.
I love the fact that, yeah, we go into an MLS game, do the whole experience, and, you know, the things we want to bring back from the MLS to A-League is not, you know, better crowds, better style of play, better consistency. It's shaving cream and garden chairs.
Garden chairs. Well, yeah. Well, we want to get rid of garden chairs. Yeah, that's right. Well, we've been wanting to get rid of those garden chairs for a long time.
Right,
to be fair. Okay, so we should. You asked on Twitter this morning. Our question of the day: what would you rename the A-League if it was to be rebranded?
Yes.
And we had a few responses, and we thought the best one came from a Twitter at Anzac Jack,
yes,
I believe his name is, and he said that we should change it to the AFL. And the
AFL stands for
the Australian Football League, but they should then lose their name and we'll be the AFL and it will be called the Actual Football League.
Oh, I see.
And
I
the
see.
AFL will have to be renamed the Major League Aerial Ping Pong League, which I think everyone would be happy with.
I think so.
It sounds pretty fancy and flash.
Yeah, it's a win-win for every party, surely.
So, yeah, good idea, Anzac Jack, and well done.
Very nice.
Turn your attentions to thefootballsack.com if you would like to keep a track of all the transfers that are going on in the A-League. Mm-hmm. So Costa going here and Brucey Gitte going there, back to Adelaide, etc., etc., etc.
We've got a bit of a piece where it literally, it's on the main feature slide. I click on it, it'll tell you every single in and out of the A-League club.
It's just divided into clubs. It's really easy to look at and keeps tabs. Also, go to the site if you are interested in state leagues, if you're a state league player or a state league fan, or you know someone who is a state league player and you just want to see if they're going to mention occasionally, go to the site. We have our state league wraps from all over the country.
And it's good because most of the leagues are kind of getting to the final, so a lot of the top six teams are settled. So if you want to know who they are, Football Sack,
is not an easier place to go in Australian football to get all your stately news than thefootballsack.com. That will do us for today.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we got through a hell of a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we don't want to sort of overdo it for you. You've had 3 weeks away.
Of course, it's like once you haven't eaten for a week, you don't have a big five-course meal.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So we'll just keep it short, which is funny because we're actually bang on 35 minutes, which is our normal time. But we'll be back next Friday. You're not going anywhere else in the world for free next week.
Considering Uganda, but I thought, I better do my work.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll stick around. We'll do our jobs for a little bit, and then we'll see how that goes. See you next week, guys.